Welcome to day 156 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. So happy to be with you today as we continue our journey through the Word of God. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible this week, and today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs. We will be reading Proverbs chapters 7, 8, and 9. And listen closely as we read through Proverbs chapter 7, because what it contains, I like to call the anatomy of temptation. It gives you a very clear story of how a young man fell into temptation, but it's a great illustration for any type of temptation, not just the particular sin that's mentioned here, but it really shows us the progression of temptation and how a person gives in and falls into sin. So it is something to pay close heed to as we read through Proverbs chapter 7. So beginning at Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. Passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and at the full moon he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Chapter 8. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, "Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding." He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on Proverbs chapter 7 and this interesting illustration that we see about a young man being drawn into temptation and then falling into sin. And as I said earlier, I like to call this proverb an anatomy of temptation. In other words, we could study it, and from the anatomy of this temptation that's experienced here by the young man in Proverbs chapter 7, we can apply it to other situations in our own lives where temptation is trying to get a hold of us. And it starts out in verse 7, where it says, I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. And then it begins to describe what the writer observed while watching this young man. It starts out by saying in verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house. The first thing that we'll observe here is that the young man in question places himself in a situation where he's physically near to the temptation that he really needs to be avoiding. So he knows where this harlot hangs out, and he goes near her corner, takes the way to her house, and he's placing himself in a position where temptation will confront him because he has chosen to put himself physically near to it. So that's the first thing that we need to observe for our own lives. If there's an area in your life that you've stumbled in time and time again, fallen into sin, had to repent for, then you need to start out by making the decision that with the grace of God, by the help of God, you're not going to put yourself in a position where temptation will confront you face to face. But that's exactly what this young man did. Lacking sense and being naive, he went and placed himself physically near to where temptation would have the opportunity to really try to pressure him. And he did it. He put himself near to her house, near the corner where she would hang out, so to speak. The second thing we need to observe is what's mentioned in verse 9, that he did this under cover of darkness. You know, we will often meet temptation when we've allowed ourselves to do something, look at something, act upon something in cover of darkness. In other words, where there's no accountability, where there's no people watching your actions. When you're alone, the temptation to look at or consider sin will be very great. And he did this in the middle of the night and in the darkness, verse 9 tells us. And then verse 10 says, once he's done that, once he's put himself physically in a place where he could be tempted, and he's done it with under cover of darkness where no one else is going to see him, then the temptation confronts him and really face to face. It says in verse 10, behold, a woman comes to meet him. So he's put himself there. Now it's going to be hard to resist the temptation that he's placed himself in front of. And it says, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. So he thought this out ahead of time. He went to the place where the temptation would be very great. And he placed himself in that situation. Now he's confronted face to face with the temptation. It says she's dressed as a harlot. So it's very enticing. It's something that will try to draw him in through his eyes. So think about your own life. Is there something that if you see it, you'll be more tempted to be drawn into that sin? Well, this young man placed himself in such a position by his choice of where he went, when he went there, under cover of darkness where other people wouldn't see him and try to dissuade him from doing it, And thirdly, put himself where he's going to see face to face the very temptation that he needs to avoid, that he needs to run from. But once it's in front of his eyes, it becomes more difficult to break away. And that's exactly what happens. So his eyes now are being tempted by this woman seeing him face to face. And it goes on to say that he stands there long enough to have her start speaking to him and try to draw him in through words. So we had the visual temptation, and now we have the temptation that's coming to him through words, and she's trying to allure him in. Hey, my husband's gone. He's not coming home for a long time. I've spread my bed with all these spices. Come and let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves. And she's trying to allure him now with the words of her mouth. And so the fact that he has physically gone there, he's confronted her face to face with his eyes, he's being tempted by how she's dressed, and now he's allowing his ears to hear things that are trying to draw him in again. So you see, there's different levels of this temptation, but it's coming at all his senses, and he's being pulled in by his eyes, pulled in by what he hears auditorily, and it's getting harder and harder by the moment for him to resist becoming an adulterer, falling into the sin of adultery and sexual immorality. And it says, with her flattering lips, she seduces him. So what she says with her mouth and what he hears with his ears pulls him into her snare, so to speak. And verse 22 tells us the end result of him having placed himself in that situation. It says, suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool. And it goes on to say in verse 23, he does not know that it will cost him his life. So now we have seen how this temptation took place and how it brought him to the point that would cause that young man to surrender to that temptation. And the last four verses are dedicated by the writer to exhorting people not to fall into the same sin. It says, now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, which is the place of the dead, descending to the chambers of death. So this proverb is all about temptation to sin. And we are told very clearly how it starts out, how it progresses, and then how the victim falls into the sin to which he was tempted. And we're given a very clear word here. First of all, don't put yourself in a physical place where you know there will be temptation. If you struggle with alcohol, don't go hang out near a bar. The temptation, once you see it, once you hear people having a great time, supposedly, inside that bar, once you hear the clink of the glasses, the temptation will start to overwhelm you, as it did with this young man. Or whatever type of sin it is, the particular elements are applicable to any type of a sin, that if you place yourself physically near where you know this temptation will be available, and then you look with your eyes, consider it with your eyes, the temptation will become stronger. And then if you listen to people who would try to draw you into that sin, the temptation will become even greater. And then the chance of you falling into the sin has increased greatly. God wants you to be victorious in your life. And to do so, you have to make a decision. With God's help, you're going to stay away from the things that would be tempting. And then if you happen to be confronted unknowingly, you weren't planning on doing this, but you suddenly are confronted visually with the temptation itself, you have to be willing to turn and run so you're not looking and gazing at the very thing that has often stumbled you in the past. And then if people try to convince you, which this woman in this proverb convinced him with words to the point where it said she seduced him with her flattering lips. Well, we know then that we have to make a decision about what we allow ourselves to hear with our ears, whether it's a person trying to convince you, whether it's a television show trying to tempt you with its allurements that are displayed on that television set or that movie. You have to make the decision. If I'm confronted with this, I am running in the other direction. I am not going to listen to that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to place myself in a position where I could fall into this sin that I know God hates and I want to hate as much as God hates it. And that's something that we need to do as believers, is to make the decision and ask God to help protect us from the particular temptations that are all around us on a daily basis. This chapter gave us a very clear illustration of how temptation takes place and how a person falls into sin. But let me give you just four steps from the scriptures about how to avoid falling in to temptation that might present itself to you. The very first step, or important key, I would say, is prayer. We are told in Luke 22:46 that Jesus told his disciples, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." So he was warning them that they could fall into temptation through prayerlessness. Make sure that you're praying, asking for God's grace and help and wisdom every single day. That's an important key to avoid falling into sin through the temptation that the enemy presents daily. The second key is to remember that God has given us weapons for warfare, spiritual weapons. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, we find these words, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So the Lord gives us this important weapon of warfare. He gives us what is called the whole armor of God. And you need to read through that chapter 6 in Ephesians to see what all the armor is. We have the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and all of these things. And you can apply them to your life every day, and it will assist you so very much in keeping in a spiritual place and condition that will enable you and empower you to avoid falling into temptation. And then the third key that I want to give you is the key of standing on the Word of God. We read just a few days ago Psalm 119, and in the 11th verse of that psalm, we find this big key to avoiding temptation and falling into sin. It's verse 11 of Psalm 119, and it reads, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So one of the keys to not falling into sin is memorization of the Word of God. The psalmist said, "I hide your word in my heart." In other words, I've memorized what your word says so that I won't fall into sin. So scripture memorization is a huge key to avoiding temptation and falling into sin. And then the last key that I'll share with you today is the key of walking in the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." It means that if you walk in the Spirit and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you every day and assist you in obeying Him, then you will be able to avoid fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, which is what is essentially the temptation to give in to fleshly desires and thereby falling into sin. So with these four keys of prayer, of using the armor of God every day, by committing scripture to memory, and then being sensitive to walk in the Holy Spirit, you will be able to avoid falling into sin and giving in to temptation like the young man we heard described today in Proverbs chapter 7. I hope you'll take these keys this week and apply them to your life and see the victory that God intends for you to walk in every day. God bless you so much and give you a victorious week.